Typical. 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 Typical.
Willkommen zu dem Sommer-Special Untypical, Atypical, anderes Leben. Heute ein bisschen andere Sendung, Sommer-Special. Wir haben bei uns im Studio den Ehsan. Wir hören viel aus dem Iran, Nachrichten, politisch vor allem.
Politisch.
Aber wir hören weniger über Leute, tagtägliches Leben im Iran, über die Menschen.
Lass mich zuerst Hallo sagen zum Leute. Ich bin Ehsan. Aus Iran, komme aus Iran und seit 2013 bin ich in der Schweiz.
Was hat dich in die Schweiz gebracht?
Das war meine Freundin.
Also Beziehung, ja, genau. Beziehung hat der Ehsan in die Schweiz geführt.
In der Iran, jetzt sind 82 Millionen Leute wohnen in der Iran. Ja, Iran ist sehr groß, verschiedene Kulturen. 28 Kantonen und jeder Kanton mit selber Kultur und selber Sprache.
Also eigene Kultur.
Ja, genau.
Sehr vielseitig.
Ja, vielseitig und spezielle Essen.
Essen ist wichtig. Was ist dein Lieblingsessen?
Oh, es gibt viele Essen in Iran. Für Leute, wenn gehen nach Iran reisen, Essen ist eine spezielle Sache, weil jede Stadt hat speziell Essen und.
Okay, Essen hat Ehsan nicht mitgenommen, oder? Aber Musik. Musik hast du mitgebracht. Wir werden auch iranische Musik hören nachher. Und noch schnell für die Zuhörer jetzt. Der Ehsan sitzt jetzt gerade neben mir. Er ist aus dem Iran, wird uns erzählen Alltagsgeschichten aus seinem Leben aus dem Iran. Und der Ehsan ist eine recht stattliche Figur, recht gross gewachsener Mann.
Nicht so gross, nur 186. 80 Zentimeter.
1,86 und sehr korpulent. Nicht? Du gehst auch viel ins Fitnessstudio, das ist ein Hobby von dir.
Ja, ich mache viel Sport, immer seit 7 Jahren alt. Ich habe angefangen mit Klettern-Sport, Joggen, Velo, Kampfsport. Bis jetzt auch manchmal mache Klettern, aber mehr jeden Tag bin ich im Fitnessstudio.
Und du bist auch bekannt in dieser Szene, nicht? Eine grosse Gruppe, ihr geht auch...
Ja, ich habe eine... Outdoor-Gruppe in der Schweiz. Und seit ich komme nach der Schweiz, ich habe diese created, diese Facebook-Gruppe. Ich glaube, es sind 5.000 Leute in der Gruppe. Aber
oh ja, 5.000. Ja,
ja, ja, genau. Gehen wir wandern, klettern, Paraglider. Ich mache nur mit Klettern-Gruppe, weil Amateur-Gruppe Leute kommen zu mir und ich bringe ihm zum Beispiel in Lenzburg Kletternhalle eine Amateurkurs mache für 2-3 Tage dort und nachher sind bereit für Outdoor-Kletter.
Also sehr, sehr aktiv. Heute sprechen wir aber über den Iran. Wir reden heute über den Iran ein bisschen.
Genau.
Also Iran ist ja ein sehr, sehr grosses Land, 80 Millionen Einwohner dort. Aber wir wissen ja nicht so viel über den Iran. Wir hören eben, wie schon eingangs gesagt, politische Nachrichten, wenig über das tägliche Leben. Ist ein grosses Land. Wie sieht es dort aus? Es sind verschiedene Vegetationszone.
Iran ist sehr groß. Jetzt ist Sommer im Iran. Zum Beispiel, wenn du bist im West, Süd auch ist sehr heiß. Wir haben im Nord regnet wie Atem.
Wie im Herbst, genau.
Genau, für Herbst. Ich hoffe, Oder Nordwest auf den Bergen, wir haben Winter dort.
Oh, okay.
Zum Beispiel im Winter, in meiner Stadt ist Winter, aber wenn wir gehen Süd, ist Sommer. Dort wir können Wassermelon essen.
Also es ist immer irgendwo
Grapen.
Sommer.
Aha. Ja, oder Nord ist wie Frühling, ist es immer heiß, weil es in der Wüste dort.
Und wo genau ist deine Heimatstadt?
Ich komme aus West, im kurdischen Teil Kurdistan. Kurdistan ist große. Ein Teil ist im Irak, ein Teil ist in Türkei, in Syrien und in Iran, dieser Teil, wo ich wohne. Und Iran, diese Länder über Iran, Nord ist Türkei und Armenistan, Aserbaidschan. West ist Irak, im Süd geht im Persian Golf und nachher Dubai.
Also im Süden ist das Meer.
Und in Ost ist Pakistan, Afghanistan und Meer Nord, Tadschikistan.
Also auch viele Länder rundherum, viele Kulturen, die da Einfluss haben.
Genau, und diese Länder haben einen historischen Kontakt mit Iran, weil Iran früher war sehr groß, alle diese bis India, bis ich weiß nicht, Russland, bis Aserbaidschan, Turkmenistan, alles war in Iran-Land.
Das Persische Reich.
Persische Empire. Diese Zeit war sehr groß. 46% auf die Welt war unter Persian Empire. Diese Zeit in Achämenien-Zeit. Und Iran hat große History, mehr als 3000 Jahre History.
Darüber wollen wir noch sprechen, ein bisschen mehr. Und auch noch über dein ganz alltägliches Leben in Iran, wie das so gewesen ist da. Dazu jetzt aber erstmal ein bisschen Musik.
Ich mache eine persische Musik, traditional persische Musik, nicht so Pop und Dubs-Dubs.
Sondern ein bisschen die Roots.
Ja.
Und nachher werden wir vielleicht auch, das haben wir so abgemacht, auf Englisch wechseln, einfach weil es dann auch flüssiger ist.
Ich habe weniger Stress, wenn ich rede in Englisch. Ich kann Deutsch, ich bin seit 5-6 Jahren da, aber ich kann mehr Erklärung, keine Stress.
Genau, dann werden wir.
Ja, ich hoffe, Leute verstehen mich, mein Englisch besser als mein Deutsch.
Also es ist einwandfrei, dein Deutsch ist wunderbar, aber es ist auch wunderbar, wenn wir dann Englisch sprechen können. What's the title of the song?
If we want to this traditional song, so with Persian instruments, different than Western or European instruments. The Persian instruments, we call them like, they make the sounds of the nature. Yes. So always when we play that instruments, we are in the nature. We have like a strong contact, this voice from the instrument with the nature.
It's like copying, echoing the sounds of nature.
It's not like making like birds or animal sounds, but it's like a little like relaxed sounds. A different kind of sound we have like for happiness sound, for sadness sounds, or different, but with special Persian instruments.
So I'm curious. Let's listen there.
Yeah.
اثری ما را بس همچو خورشید به عالم نظری ما را بس نفس گرم و دل پرشرری ما را بس در شب هجر امید سحری ما را بس در شب هجر امید سحری ما را بس
کابلو بند
Mach Banu Band.
Mach Banu Band. Mach. Mach.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you.
Persian group. It's mean the Moon Ladies group. As we know, like singing for women in Iran is forbidden. They call it in Islam is haram. The woman voice is bad. I don't know. Something like they make it is taboo in Islam if women sing. But... yeah, there are groups and people always support them.
So even though officially it's not really liked by the authorities, but it's kind of tolerated.
Yeah.
There's women groups.
Yeah, like there are like special groups in Iran that are famous. They're not allowed to sing in the TV or like radio concerts. It's forbidden for women. They just make on YouTube or... they make concerts in countries around, like Turkey, Iraq, Azerbaijan, and a lot of Iranian people love these sounds. So they go there and support. You know, I come from the family. The music is always with us in my family. Like my father play instrument, my brother play instrument. I also play Persian instruments.
Which one?
It's called tar or setar or tambur or like... Persian drums. But here I didn't play anything. I don't have the instrument here. But we had a music group in our school, like for celebration times, we sing and we play songs.
You grew up in Iran. You just said you had been, we were in a band. Could you say, you could compare the schools, it's very similar to the schools here, or were they very different?
It's very different. Today I understand, like I say so sorry for students, they are study there. Like this government is pushing them with put the religion in their head, put their mind in the box with religion and the rules. Early morning, like 7 in the morning, they are in the school. Like before they go to the class, they should read Quran. They should like say death to America, death to Israel. And, you know, make so much hate in this student's mind. They are just like have no idea about religion, no idea about politics. That time also, yeah, we had every morning, we have to shout to death to America, death to Israel, read Quran, and like, we want to play like traditional music with these like historic poems.
Yes.
We sing, but they always try to make problem for us. Oh, you should make like on the Islamic rules, this music. Talk about religion and these things, you know.
Yes.
Iran has a 3,000-year history. Like, if you watch the Iran history in the schools, like the book, if it's 100 pages about Iran history, and 400 is about after this revolution, or like Islam history, and they try to make people away from their own cultures. The 1920 of March is Persian New Year. We have fire night. We make fire and the families all come around together around the fire. End of the winter is our new year, you know, we say so, the green came to our life. They try to like make people far away from this tradition. And
because it's not an Islamic tradition,
exactly.
It's not an Islamic feast.
The mullahs come say fire night is haram, it's against Islam.
You also celebrate their
like they push festivals. Us to celebrate the celebration. They don't have celebration, they all cry. No, I shouldn't say like this, but they have celebration, but they just go to the mosque and cry for Islamic hero. But Yeah, they try to make people far away from this culture, so, this celebration.
Yeah, very strong woman voices. I was thinking just when we heard this, that actually it's a very old traditional culture, isn't it? It's Persian, actually. It's very oriental, very oriental.
Yeah, yeah. Poems are part of our culture. You know, from thousands of years ago, Persian people write the poem. We have like famous poet people.
Yes.
And the base of the poems are about love. Our Persian love is different than the world love. They talk about love 3,000 years ago. Love and singing and poems are special in our culture. Mm-hmm. They're always with us. When we date the love person, first things we do, we read the poems, like Persian poems about love. We have Rumi.
Rumi is very famous.
We have Hafiz, we have Sa'di. From that time, they talk about love. For example, in this song, it's called Enough for Us. Mm-hmm. It's saying, the life is full of challenges, but love, when love comes to us, it makes the world different, life different, colorful, like more beautiful, like the difficulties get easier when we are in love, you know, when we are together and we give love to the everything, not just only between the people love, mm-hmm. but also love about caring about the world, mm-hmm. you know.
Animals, or even God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even God and what they believe.
Now, let's get back to you and your life. Iran is an Islamic republic now, after the revolution. And before, it was more like, it was called Persia, right?
Yeah.
It was a kingdom. What kind of religions is there? What is your religion?
The first, I can say the first religion in the world, first religion and belief is called Zarathustrian. I think in German, Zarathustrian, yeah?
Yes.
And that was like before Islam and other stories. In this religion is about the wisdom, is about the knowledge, is not about the magic. Today we see all the religions, we see them like as magical things, like the magical power. There are these magical powers when you believe in something, but in this religion say you should have enough knowledge for your life. Uh-huh. Enough knowledge, enough love, enough respect. And here is not a special place to go there and sit, oh God, give me health or give me money or give me heaven. Paradise world is originally Persian world. Mm. So that time the people, they learn how to live in the paradise. So they design the paradise for their life, you know, with love. Paradise about the beauty of the life places, you know, the cities, the nature, like they respect a lot to the nature. Elements are special in this religion, you know, elements, soil, sun, water, fire, and every element has a special place. So people go there, it's like today call it church or a mosque,
yes,
like a church of water. But people not go there and say, oh, water, give me money or power or something. People go there as students, they study about water or soil or fire. They just discover the life with these things, with these elements. In this religion is all about knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
In this religion say, God is something inside yourself. As Rumi said, they said, oh, people, you're going to the God house there.
God, it's like a mosque.
Yeah. The God house, that lover you're searching for, that God, is here. Is here beside you. Come back. Is the your neighbor. Where you go there, spend this money for a hajj and all this way, go there. Spend it here. The God is here. The love is here beside you. Is your neighbor. One poem say like, you don't need to go to the sky, search a God. God is inside you. You just need to have two wings, and these wings are love. When you have these wings and you understand your God inside you, you don't need to search it in the skies or search it or like special place. You know, you do good, you help others. That's what God it is, you know. That's
okay,
what God
so
in you.
Yes, okay. Yes, so much for the Zarathustrian roots or for the Zarathustrian soul. of the Persian people.
One of the music from 1981 song. This singer, she was after moving to America after this revolutionary 40 years ago. So, and she died in US. She was always upset about this country, but her voice is amazing.
Okay, let's listen.
Let's listen. This was one of her concerts in Los Angeles. The Iranian people there.
A lot of Iranian
people went to listen. Probably the most famous.
Haide mit Y, traditionelle Musik aus dem Iran. Du hörst Untypical auf Kanal K. Wir reden heute mit dem Ehsan aus dem Iran über seine Kindheit und Jugend im Iran, über die Frau und die Musik haben wir jetzt geredet. Wir reden Englisch, weil das am Ehsan Ringer geht. Als nächstes habe ich von ihm mehr zu seiner Studienzeit in Teheran wissen.
As you were speaking about school, did you stay a long time then in school? You went studying afterwards? Or?
Yeah, I was in university. That time was like this election voting time.
It was a new president.
Yeah,
that came.
That time was Ahmadinejad.
Oh, okay, Ahmadinejad.
It was a little like crazy. Yeah, we should become a leader of the world.
There's a lot of other countries that like to achieved this one too. But then afterwards came...
After that came Rouhani. So people vote for Rouhani. You know, all these presidents all are same. We call them fox. Like Ahmadinejad, they call him blue fox.
Blue fox.
And this one, new one, they call it pink fox. He's a mullah. But that time, like people say, yeah, let's vote for this new president.
There's but some hope that things might change, a bit more freedom for life, everyday life.
It was like fight in the streets. It was like police come hitting people. They come to the street because they vote to this president, but next day the leader of Iran changed everything. They say, this is president. They just cheat on everything. And, you know, it's not that democracy in Iran, like with voting. It's just playing, you know. It's just a game to say to the world, yeah, people here vote. But the leader choose every day this one become this leader. They choose people to go to the parliament. Yeah. And there some like big head mullah sitting there and say, no, they are not good for parliament. These all people who vote for them, they just choose other for themselves. That time, in university time, I couldn't finish my university because the revolutionary guards come to our class and just choose people and hit them and bring them to the prison. Because that time people go to street and make demonstration against this cheating. So they just come and take students. They say, yeah, you are with these groups against government. You know, one day I go to the class and then I see two, three of the girls. I see like they're crying. They took their face crying. And then I ask, what happened? I said, they came to the class, the revolutionary guards, and with, I don't know, knife or something sharp, they hit to their face. Really, they were hitting them. Like this wood and everything they had, they hitting this student. And then I even, one time they came and hit the group of students sitting in front line in the class. They just broke the door and came with shouting at us with the bad words. You, blah, blah, go to streets against government. They hit one of the students. It was the blood of her face. It was coming to my face. And I was like getting crazy. What the hell is wrong with here?
Yeah.
And I jump on one of them, this revolutionary guard. I jump on one of them and I did want to hit, but two, three others from behind, they hit me a lot. They hit me a lot until my eyes get black and I fall on the ground. I didn't let the one under my hand to go. I just hit. And then other students came from other class and make big fight. Slowly they kicked them out.
And the revolution.
And then we just ran away. We could run away. They just take me once I feel myself, two others under my arms, holding.
They helped you.
Yeah, and we just ran away. Ran away. I went to the place I was sleeping, and I see they were going there also. All the TV broken, all the windows broken, all the our stuff like middle of the room. I just call my mom. Hey, I cannot anymore here. My mom also like always say, no, don't stay there. Come home.
Yeah.
And I just remember I came to the street and all my body was bloody. Like on my, I had a white shirt and the street all was smoke. Like one bus middle of the road was burning in fire. That time I remember one person, they shot at her. Her name was Neda Aga Sultan. Because it was a famous person, they killed her. And then they say people killed her. And that exactly was in front of me. She fell on the ground. I was like running to the side of this bus station to take the bus and come to my city. Then I see like people screaming and one person just fall on the street.
That was in Tehran.
Went to Tehran that time.
Capital city to study.
I just ran to the bus station and the bus driver gave me a shirt because my shirt all was bloody.
All bloody.
I came home and after... In Iran, you should apply for military when you are 18. If you don't have military card, you cannot marry, you cannot go to university, you cannot, I think today even you cannot have a bank account, you cannot get a driving license, you cannot have a passport.
Yeah. So you came back home to a more peaceful city, your home city,
yeah,
and now it would be time to go for military.
Yeah, that time my mother had driving school. My mother was bus after driving school.
That sounds very modern.
In these countries in Europe, they think like Iran is like Afghanistan. It's not. It's more modern. So my mom was a person that time, only two women in Iran had a driving license for big truck. We had the biggest driving school in our city. And first in our city. When I had nothing to do, I was like working with my mom at the office. Mm-hmm. But you know, working there for men, you should be married. You should be have a military. But I was helping, you know. I like to have these contacts with like these official people there. I go to their conference or, you know, I just go take a paper in my hand and write down what they say. But it was interesting. So I came home and applied for going to military. In military system, we have two group of army.
Yes.
One are like main Iran army. It was from before this Islamic revolution. And one is this IRGC, this Revolutionary Guard army. So they have more power, more they are in the political system of country, they have more power and everything under their hand. They are like strong spy system they have, even out of the Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Syria, in everywhere they have like
spies.
Yeah. Yeah, because of this, my mom had driving school, they offered me to join them.
These special forces.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This, I remember it was a woman came to my mom's office and then said, yeah, your mom, I want you to be in a safe place at military. You, if you join us, you're going to be in your city. You even no need to wear uniform. You will be a driver of big people there. Mm-hmm. But for me, like this Islamic Revolutionary Guard, it was something I cannot accept. I cannot accept being one of them. They have so radical belief. I feel like they are against people. So I said no to her and she got mad at me. And she went out, then my mom came mad at me. I didn't want to be a mommy boy that time at home. I said, I want to do something on myself. My family was so upset. The only person who was not upset was my grandfather. I remember the last day I went to his garden, he always had a big garden. And he just smiled at me and, mm-hmm. and he said, yeah, you're going to become a man in the army and you come back. You marry to your love and we make celebration for you when you come back. They come a letter, the like beginning courses of military. We have like 2-3 months for beginners to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a place a little far from the city. Was looks like a desert. In the day was hot and the night was so cold. So we went there and my mom drove me all the way. She cried and I said, I come back. I'm not going to go there to die. I'm going to go there to grow. I went there.
As a young man.
Yeah, young
ready
man.
Ready to go.
Yeah. And we were like 1,000 new soldiers. I didn't completely shave my hair because the army should shave your hair. It looks like watermelon. After that, I was thinking, I'm going to come back home and I go next week. I have these choices. But I went there. They closed the door. Sit down, and then my mom was behind the door crying, and I said, sorry, I need to take something from my mom. Then I said, do 10 push-ups. Then I said, what? I was thinking he's joking. Then I would smile. No, I just need to talk to her. It's my mom. I said, come here. You do 100 sit-ups. And then, what is this hair? What is this hair you have? Why you put gel on your hair? It took a like haircut machine. And put it middle of my hair. It was what? A channel between my hair. Go sit there. And I nearly cry. What the hell is here? But I was happy and going there. I see, wow, they have like a marine uniforms. I'm gonna wear them tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they make us to run with our like I wear a jean and t-shirt. And after that, they give us like a blankets and uniforms. I opened my uniform. It was green. My uniform were green. I have the picture of it. It looks like a cucumber in it. I said, what is this? Why I don't have from that? I said, come on, go around. And I put on my uniform. It was so big. I was looks like I lost in it. We ran. I said, it's big. He said, when I can go to somewhere, like, make it fit, I said, 50 push-ups. Everything I said, I think. He said, here you are not a person to think. The end of this training time, put us, we were like 4,000 soldiers. And there was one man there, one commander there, reading our name, end of the period. And say, for example, Ehsan, blah, blah. Father name, blah, blah, blah. And going to the, for example, the border police, going to the special army, going to the Air Force, going to the Navy, you know.
Uh-huh. They distribute all the young soldiers.
Yeah, like separate us. Mm-hmm. Like this, so we wait under this hot sun. I was getting nose bleeding under this sun. I was throwing up, but I didn't give up. Finally, they read me, Kurdistan. Border, And then they bring us to the border. They say 1 week holidays, then you're going to be there. And we went there, like they separate who can drive, who can cook, who can... once I just remember funny story of this, one of my student friend in school, I know him. He was really small and a little like baby face. So it was in our group. Then I said, what do you do here? What can you do? Tell me, what can you do? Because I was in the office system, you know, I know what they're going to do if he can cook or something. They're going to keep him in the main camp. They not send him to the mountains around. And said, nothing. I just remember his dad had a bakery. Then they read his name. What's your profession? Then I was behind him. He can make a very good bread. I know him. And he watched me. And they keep him there in the main camp. They put us, the rest of us, in the bus. And the road has a 900 turn, this road to that place. 900 turn. And in the bus, everybody throw up. It was summer. It was so hot. Some part of the way we should go on with the horses because it was like in summer, there were 1 meter of snow there, top on the mountain. 20 meter other side was Iraq. And the commander there said, here, some years ago, they killed 20 soldiers on this road, the tourist. Other side, the tourist has camp. You know, the small groups in Iraq. Or trafficker groups there. So Iran is on the main road of Silk Road. It's a historic road. So all the drugs from Afghanistan, they have farms, like opium farms, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm. So the traffickers, those dealers will bring things from other countries through Iran. What would they bring? This opium, mainly drugs?
Yeah, mainly drugs. Mm-hmm. And other things also, they do human trafficking. They go to these poor countries like Sri Lanka, like small villages around India. They found the young girls. They tell them, we bring you to Europe and give you a job. But they put them inside a big truck middle of the, I don't know, farm products or rice or wheat. Through Iran, bring them to Europe or to the other Arabian countries. Mm-hmm. And they use them as, sexual abuses. And Iran is a way to Europe. They bring their drugs to Europe through Iran. So we were there, always had fight with, mainly with drug traffickers. Yeah, we had fight with them. We sometimes go for mission, you know. We go there to like spy what they do. Because in Iran, police or army systems also, there are some groups work with them. They make business with them. Mainly, I think these IRGC, or they do business really with drugs also. Because they have a lot of power, nobody can tell them what is that or what. Then we had like a scanner to check inside the truck. It was a big truck. And said, okay, send the scanner under the truck. Mm-hmm. Then we see some things showing that by body temperature. So it could be meat there or animal or human. Then I said, what do you have here? Mm-hmm. Nothing, some animal, dead animal. Mm-hmm. And the rest is rice. And I said, that animal is not showing red. And we opened them, they were talking, some noises. They were always cross the border, these people, like children from these gypsy people. These gypsy people live in the mountains.
Okay.
They're not fixed in the place. They go sometimes to the Iraq when it's hot or cold. Then they move to Iran. So these people, we know them. And they go by the horses, donkeys, if they animals, and they are in the group. But these people... Yeah, they were like 14, 15, something like that. Then I say, hey, the place you are going, they're going to sell you. It's not the place, dreamland, they tell you. They took your passport. They burn it, your passport.
Who would take care of them?
There are like camps under police, under city police hand. So they are safe. And then after they contact, when they get information about where they came from, they contact with their embassies or they stay as a refugee. It was a very different life. The villages there, they still didn't have electricity or even no car. They just go around with the horses. And the worst thing was these mullahs coming to us that time. They come with the escorts, like come to us. Who read Quran? Who pray to God? Who not? And they say, we are responsible to send you to heaven. I was many times in prison because of fighting with these mullahs. I said, Haji, we are already in hell. we're already in hell. We have no food to eat. Our kidneys are full of stone because of this dirty water. It's end of the world. This is hell. There was a time they killed just 14, 15 of my soldier friends. They
really?
It was the close to the New Year. I'm okay now to tell it, but before, like, a few years ago,
long
I couldn't.
Long time, it was hard to
I went
moment.
To therapy. Still, I do the therapy still for these minds, you know, because they are like wound in somebody like me. Sometimes they push us to go kill these people who are doing trafficking, but it's not with drugs or... Because in the borders, the poor villages, they have no any company there. They no any job. The farm, if you say farm, during Iran-Iraq war, like 30 years ago, I think was Iran-Iraq war, 8 years war.
Yeah.
Iraq was putting this mine, the bombs underground. And yeah. Still they are there. And every week stays exploding, killing the children. There were a lot of kids in those villages with one leg. Like, they not clean them.
They have no real perspective there. So they do trafficking also for this reason.
They go to Iraq, like they bring the food. To the Iran or the maximum thing they do bringing alcohol drinks.
I see. So it's not the big trafficking.
They were poor people. They never attack us. They usually kill their horses. There is a movie, it's called Drunk Horses. You can watch it. It's about this trafficker. They give a wine to the horses because in that deep snow, they put these horses to be drunk and walk. Somebody's waiting for them other side and they walk through the snow on the other side. And just go kill them. We call them Kulbar. Kul is mean backpackers. Once in the beginning days I was there, I went to the... It was a small place, but there were like around hundreds of horses dead. And I don't know which group were going there and just shooting if they gone through everything. Sometimes the crazy buses were there. And once was like it was 4 or 5 horses. They closed them to the tree. So they say, go just kill them. I had my gun. And when they saw me with the gun, they feel it. They feel they got crazy, like. They were drunk also, like one night without alcohol, they were there. And like I see the water from their mouth coming down and the ice crazy. I just shoot at the rope and they run away. And then my crazy boss want to hit me. Why, what I say you not do it? And I say, I cannot. He hit me with the gun, he hits on my shoulder, I fall on the ground. And I put the gun on his chest and I say, hey, stop. You can punish me by law, but you cannot hit me. And we had a little like crazy talk and they sent me to the like kind of jail for 2-3 days because of that. I will always say the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a day when I was thinking go out of Iran. Mm-hmm. I said to my mom, if I be in this country, I'm going to be always in jail or I'm going to die. I say always truth. This is crazy, just accept what they say and we make ourselves sleep. So after army, I went to the Iraq. Work as a construction work, you know, in Iraq's hot summer, 55 degree hot.
Du hörst Esan, er redet zu seiner Jugend und zu seiner Kindheit im Iran, da auf Untypical auf Kanal K. Und jetzt ein bisschen Musik aus dem Iran, Mohsen Shawashi.
دردت و مالم زن نچورا و تم شو علام روش بکرا و روش بکرا و تم شو تشو نتی اگل خوام لکی دوری Zaret patika,
دردت به جونم بی تو نمونم امشو تیمو بمون
روز بکراوه روز بکراوه
امشو چند شوه
ein bisschen modernere Musik da aus dem Iran, das mal Untypical auf Kanal K mit dem Ehsan bei uns. Er redet über seine Kindheit und Jugend im Iran, jetzt gerade über seine Zeit im Militär. Mohsen Shaboshi haben wir gehört, Mina, deine Haare sind meine Religion, hat er besungen. Ein Lied, das der Ehsan mitgebracht hat. Ehsan war Bergführer und auch schon als Kind viel in den Bergen gewesen. Du hörst Untypical auf Kanal K.
Kanal K.
Let's talk about this, your sporty side as well.
Yes, huh? Yes.
A bit about nature as well. When you were younger in Persia or Iran, you were... Bergführer, climber. Yeah. How did you learn that? Or what was your passion? How did you get there?
I started climbing when I was 7 years old. And that time my mom didn't want... she was not like put me in the cage, not climb, but was like saying you're going to die. So crazy. Climbing is a crazy sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. In you the mean high, really with ropes?
Yeah, with the rope. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I bought the climbing shoes and I hide it at my grandmother's house. So I was lying to my mom. I was going training, but I was I'm just outside. I went to a few competitions.
Your brothers too?
My brother started after me.
I saw you were the one showing them the way.
When I had a climbing group myself in here. I was leading climbing group, you know. But we were girls and boys go outside always. We had problems with the police also.
For climbing?
Yes. I mean, you know, in Iran, you cannot just be girlfriend, boyfriend. You should be married. Today is less, but that time, like...
Today is a bit less.
Yeah, today a bit less, but that time was like crazy, really. Police put to jail. I love mountain. When I'm in the mountain, I feel like I came from the nature, you know? Human came from the nature, and I want to go be back in the nature. And when I'm in the high places, I feel free. I feel free from everything. Free even from the cities, you know, this crowd. And like I'm deep in the nature. I'm close to this more sky, you know, more closer to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm flying there.
Nice.
So in the climbing, so I was a good climber. I was going to the crazy mountain in the winter. So we started working with the projects, like caring about animals in the mountain, like mountain goats or with the Persian cheetahs. So about the goats, because it was snowy, we bring up the grass for them, like maybe 20 kilograms on our backpack. They find themselves food, but we more support them to not come down to the cities to like hunters hunt them, you know, to stay more up.
They are not so many anymore. So
the nature you don't know is damaged because the country crazy politics. They started making the weapon companies around this into the nature, like deserts, like the mountains. So another project was Persian cheetahs. They like have a point blacks on them.
Similar to jaguar, maybe.
Yeah, they're similar to jaguar, but more painful. They really don't want to attack humans.
But they don't want to eat them.
They don't want to eat humans. Because nothing human tasty for them.
Sure, yeah.
But today there only are a few of them. Like, I think that time I was there, it was like 125 of them. We go there, people living there, they have some animals like cow, sheep there. So we tell them, these cheetahs are not eating you. You know, the children play around, they have guns and shoot at them, kill them.
Uh-huh.
We even had some organizations like, if they kill your cows or sheep, this organization gonna pay you the cost of that sheep or cow. Don't kill them, okay?
Yeah.
If they come took your cow, let them eat. Yeah, we were active with these groups, but after the government think we go into the secret places around the deserts, build up the bomb companies under the desert.
And you went into this nature reserve, and at the same time it was military.
Yeah, so they make like a military camps, mm-hmm. more and more their areas. Yeah, and
military made problems, then you couldn't go on working.
Yeah, it's forbidden, military places forbidden to go there. They say, you are spying. They even make me, they say, you are spying. These last years I was there because I had this couch surfing profile. Yes, couch surfing is a special thing in Iran, like families.
There's a lot of people that offer
because
a bed.
Yes, like traveling there is not any problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe for tourists, no problem. If you don't go around the politic places or
military areas.
Yes. Because they control my phone, my couch surfing, even my email, my Facebook. And they know better than me, myself, what I was doing. And there was a time they want me to, oh, come here, just 5 minutes, we have question about you. It was like for 5 hours, answer to question, again, repeat them, answer to them, if they see if I say lie or something. So yeah, the secret police, they always after me, after military. So yeah, traveling in Iran is amazing. My friends who knows me here, they always afraid to go to Iran. But when they went one time to Iran, they went twice. Like my girlfriend was in Iran, they say, oh, we're going to use couchsurfing. You don't need hotel in Iran, you know, and hotel even is so cheap.
Yeah. Danke, Esan, aus dem Iran, da auf Untypical, auf Kanal K.
Kanal K.
Wir haben diese Stunde mit dem Esan geredet, aus dem Iran zu seiner Jugend und zu seiner Kindheit. Hier auf Untypical Kanal K. Ich wollte von Esan jetzt noch wissen, wie das so für ihn ist jetzt in der Schweiz.
If you speak about Switzerland, coming here, you've been here now for 6 years. If you compare the life here, and you said you did a lot of trekking in the mountains, and here too. So what's the differences? What could you say about being here in Switzerland?
You know, nowhere is for you your own home, you know. Every country has own beauty, own culture, and traveling is best thing we can do in young age, because this energy you have in this age, coming to Switzerland this age, is like amazing for me, like just discover new world, good cultures here, very kind people. There are racist people also, they watch me and say, oh, this Arabische Ausländer.
And you like to watch all these things happening?
Yeah, these are interesting. Like, I see, like, good people. I met in the beginning maybe bad people. So I was thinking, oh, they're all same, racist. They're a little, like, not too much friendly, like Iranian families. But it's enough, you know. It's their life, how they... They have so much stress here also. You know, life here is not that easy, not that cheap. You know, you should work always. Time is money here, really. Yeah. So here I learn a lot to not always stay on my own mind from before in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
I think bad about others. I get more contact with Swiss people. Like, mm-hmm. I love to, like, meet my friends. I go to their families. They love me. Like, I cook for them Persian foods.
And you are very communicative person,
yes.
Like to talk with people, so it's easy for you, I think, easier than for others maybe to get into contact.
I love to contact with like every nationality, not just Swiss people. I have my new couchsurfing friends. I have friends from Saudi Arabia. I have friends from Israel. I have from Finland, from Nepal. From but yes. Here I enjoy this nature, especially nature here. People really care, you know, here. Clean people, not like a crazy religious people, they just not care about natures. And you see here the rivers full of fishes, nobody touches. Oh. Clean waters here, people there, they use so much chemicals on their vegetables and farms today because they not have enough good soil or water for them. But here I work sometimes at the farm with my friend, like they have organic farm, like what do you call it, corn farm. I make slideshow and explain them about there, and I cook Persian foods. Yes, and my cooking is good.
Okay, that was so much advertisement for Ehsan. You can come to Ehsan in Aarau and he'll show you all about Iran and about the kitchen and the culture and a lot more, and you can get to know a very charming person. Thank you very much, Ehsan, that you were telling us so many stories about your life, and there is a lot more.
There are a lot. We may be another time.
Another time we can go on talking, definitely. And there's a lot more stories, and I'm always amazed. There's, each time I talk with you, there's new stories and new stories.
It never ends. I was thinking to write a book about this happened. Like, I have not that much age. I'm getting 29 in 1 week. But with all these stories, like, everybody, even some people think I'm lying.
Experienced so many things.
I experienced these, you know, it's not just joke or lie.
Danke vielmals, Ehsan. Das war der Ehsan aus dem Iran. Danke euch allen fürs Zuhören da auf Untypical auf Kanal K, das mal Sommerspecial zum Iran. Der Ehsan zu seiner Jugend und Kindheit im Iran. Alles Weitere könnt ihr hören auf schokikuchen.ch/untypical.htm. Da könnt ihr auch das ganze Interview hören und weitere Podcasts zu Untypical anders leben. Der Ehsan hat noch einen wunderschönen Song mitgebracht zum Abschluss. Aziz Weissi, kurdischer Song mit Farsi-Rap-Einlagen. Und herzlichen Dank euch allen fürs Interesse. Wieder bei Untypical, Untypical dabei zu sein. Danke vielmals am Ehsan für seine Ausführungen, seine ganz wirklich offenen und freien Ausführungen zu seinem Leben im Iran. Und da jetzt also noch der Aziz Weissi. Einen schönen Sommerabend gewünscht. Am Mikrofon der Patrick West.
حالا چون که رنگیه شب کجا تا پستانه با اون قد بلنده کجا فرهاده با اون قلب پر از عشق شب عشق داره پر شیرینه و فرها خاک شهر بیزنه شیرینه اون رفا شهر هنره با محد تمدن غیرت داریم از بد به تولو غرب کشور هر خاک زیاد پا بر جاز بگو بد خاش کیان جا سرسبزه باشه چشما باز خوش اومدی شما به کرمان شا
کرمان شا نجش جران همارگی مردم مردان کرمان شا نجش جران همارگی مردم مردان والله مرزی تا قصان
والله مرضي تاخذ سنه كل هروجه فوق ورانا والله مرضي تاخذ شبود مهد تیره از داشت پهلم و خوش قد و حیره اوز و فارز نداره همه یکی هستن همه خواهر و برادر یکی هستن جوان رود و پاوه روان سر کوهستانی تنه و هست هواش زر واسد میگم از گرمای قصر شیرین به دور نامردی و خط کشید از شیرین و فرهاد میگم بشو و خداری و به ما یاد میدن و عشق از تاریخی کهن توی همه شهر باش کار گوش بده و شاد باش همه شهر باش
کمی تا پسن خل خلو اوادن کرمازن چاو راسه کموانو مالو اوادن کرمازن هر وکو حال مجای کالو اوادن کرمازن تکو جپیری اشتا سالو اوادن کرمازن ستونو تا قصانو اوادن کرماشان افتخاری نیش تو منو اوادن کرماشان سبحان الله جنب نرخن اوادن کرماشان نامه کرد لسر داریخن شعری رنگین و جوان
مهاداری نجاره پاک آریایی توی مرام خاک ماریانی
شبا تاک بستان و چای قنقلو عشقو میبینی تو در هر سو باریم رویده با صفای راز آور ما آسمونش محرم راز آمن
کرند و صحنه و تنبوراشون کندول فریان و انگوراشون دیر و جوون نداره همه از هر دش مکال هم از سر و زحمت کش
کرمان شاه ما سرزمین عشقه نگین غرب و زمینش به خشته زمین